Steve Jobs has been gone from our world for weeks now, and yet in a persistent invasion of the zeitgeist, worthy of any of the living Jobs' triumphs during his time as CEO of Apple, he in death continues to stride across our reality, partly because of this new Walter Isaacson biography. Is there a secret to Steve Jobs? Here Isaacson discusses the book on CBS's 60 Minutes.
He could drive himself by magical thinking, by believing something that the rest of us couldn't possibly believe. And sometimes it worked. Sometimes it didn't.
Often it worked. But is the portrait of Steve Jobs that we're seeing now in the conversations about the Isaacson book familiar to those who lived and worked with him and certainly were familiar with him in the early days? Joining us now is Howard Rheingold, visiting lecturer at Stanford University's Department of Communications, author of the book Smart Mobs, The Next Social Revolution. Good morning, Howard.
Good morning.
So tell me a little bit about the portrait that we're seeing now of this larger-than-life Steve Jobs and how you remember him very much in the earthly days of, the well, the early online communities, the tech world that grew up in the 1980s.
Well, I was at that Stanford speech that people are replaying a lot these days.
The commencement speech at Stanford in 2005, I believe it was.
Yes, yeah. That's right. And I was struck by a few things he said there. One thing was he mentioned the importance of dropping out of Reed College and hanging out and studying calligraphy with Lloyd Reynolds. Reed was very much about thinking for yourself and learning how to learn, the old Enlightenment idea that an individual could train their mind and therefore improve themselves, not just by learning a body of knowledge, but by learning how to think more effectively.
You know, Howard, I was reminded when he referred to Reed College and referred to the fact that he had dropped out of Reed College. I mean, I went to school at the University of Oregon out in the Pacific Northwest. Going to Reed was a form of dropping out of the mainstream world, but to drop out of Reed takes you even that far removed.
Yeah, absolutely. I went to Reed. Reed was for the people who wanted to declare themselves outcasts from the brand name system. You were not going to get the same kind of reaction that you would have if you'd gone to Harvard or Stanford or Princeton. But it was also very much about amplifying the mind. And he also noted that the Whole Earth Catalog, which was an extraordinarily important influence in the counterculture of the 1960s, was an important influence on him. And I know from my days as editor at Whole Earth Catalog that it was very much about this old American idea of self-reliance, that with the right kind of tools that any individual would have more power. Both of these are in the kind of the old Enlightenment tradition that if you could somehow reason better, if you could train the mind, you could improve the world. That is something that we all think of as progress, but that was a new idea.
Were you surprised to learn that Steve Jobs was a Whole Earth Catalog, not only an aficionado, but perhaps got inspiration for much of his work from it?
You know, I wasn't surprised. Remember, he had made a point of saying that LSD had been important to him. And that was very much about people experimenting with expanding their minds. You know, before I wrote Smart Mobs, I wrote a book on the future of mind-expanding technology in the 1980s. And that went back to a fellow by the name of Doug Engelbart, who's remembered for inventing the mouse. The whole Macintosh idea came from when Jobs visited a place called the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center that had built on Engelbart's ideas. And Engelbart was really the first person to try to sell this idea that you could use computers to, as he called it, augment human intellect. Before then, you used computers for scientific calculations or for business data processing. All of these things kind of ring the bell of the idea that you could improve the mind and you can improve the world by improving the tools that you used. And I remember very vividly that some of the early ads for Apple called them wheels for the mind. So that, I think those were all in the, kind of the same tradition.
You know, he has this reputation, and it comes out in this book, and many people are talking about it, for being something of a perfectionist. Here's Walter Isaacson on CBS's 60 Minutes talking specifically about that point.
He was very petulant. He was very brittle. He could be very, very mean to people at times. And whether it was to a waitress in a restaurant or to a guy who had stayed up all night coding, he could just really just go at them and say, you're doing this all wrong. It's horrible. And you'd say, why did you do that? Why weren't you nicer? And he'd say, I really want to be with people who demand perfection. And this is who I am.
Did you know Steve Jobs as this sort of scary character who could mercurially sort of turn on you?
I did not know that at all. But, you know, I hung out with a guy who did a documentary film about the Macintosh team and got to know them all, some of whom were not treated very well by Steve. And I remember having breakfast with this guy in Tokyo, and someone who had been on the Macintosh team saw us there and came over and said, are you still hanging out with Satan? So I know that he had that reputation. I did not know him.
What do you see? And I mean, he approved this biography. He seems to have been very involved in the making of this book. How do you think he's trying to set his image, even, you know, from beyond the living world?
Well, you know, I think it's all of the stories are about him being a control freak, and this sounds to me like trying to control what's said about him after he's dead. So, you know, more power to him for that. Who has been able to try to influence their biographers in such a strong way? And certainly he knew he would be the subject of biographies. He got to pick the guy who wrote the biography of Franklin and Einstein, and then he got to influence the story. It's very, very much in line with that kind of perfectionism and kind of microengineering that he's known for.
And you're referring that Walter Isaacson wrote the biographies of Franklin and Einstein before taking on the Steve Jobs biography. Howard Rheingold, thanks so much.
Sure.
Howard Rheingold is a visiting lecturer at Stanford University's Department of Communications and author of the book Smart Mobs, The Next Social Revolution.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.